Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Hear now these words. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now she was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre, and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed, and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I want to open the Bible and I want to read a nice story. And I want to be happy. And I want to see this image of Jesus. And I want to just connect with him. And I just want to read it and not be challenged by it. I don't want to hear some words from Jesus telling me how I'm supposed to treat somebody better, how I'm supposed to give away all my money and follow him and do all. I just want to open the Bible and read a nice story and not be challenged. I just want to feel good. I want to come to this place and I want to sing beautiful songs and pray and get my spirit unburdened by my concerns, and then I want to open the Bible and hear a story that tells me how much God loves me and how great I'm doing, and have a little communion and go home. Doesn't that sound nice? That'd be great. And then we open the Bible today and read this scripture, and it's like, oh, why? This scripture tears down the idol that is Jesus in my mind. I want to picture Jesus as this perfect Son of God who walked among the earth and loved everybody. It's a picture of Jesus like petting the lamb. You've seen that one? Isn't that beautiful? That's what I want. I want Jesus to be this nice guy who loved everybody, who overcame all of these troubles and tribulations by loving people and doing the right thing. And then I hear this story about Jesus. And he's tired. He's had a long day. And he just wants to be quiet. I don't know if they didn't have locks on the door or what, but this woman shows up. And she has a daughter with an unclean spirit. So she goes and she bows down at Jesus' feet, and I just picture him sitting on the couch at the recliner. Maybe he's even laid down to take a little nap, and all of a sudden this woman is there at his feet, begging for healing for her daughter. And Jesus looks at her. And this is the part that really, not in a good way. Sometimes we do that, it blows my mind. Shatters everything. Because Jesus looks at her, he sees that she's a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, that she's not like him, that she's not like his people. And he looks at her And he says, go away. The children get to eat first. You don't take food away from the children and give it to the dogs. He looks at this woman. He sees how she's different from him. She recognizes that she is not a part of his group. And he calls her a dog and tells her to go away. That's not the image of Jesus that I want to have. This man who's allowed the garbage of the world to influence how he treats another child of God. But thank God for that woman, because she, I imagine she just like perks up, looks him right in the face. You imagine looking at Jesus in the face after he said these things to you? Be like, hey, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Start talking about speaking truth to power and standing up to the wrongness of the world. That's what this woman did in this passage. It shatters my image of Jesus. Again, I want Jesus to be this loving, great person, this perfect person who never treated anyone poorly. I'll be honest, I don't know how to read this interaction without equally saying, Jesus, that was not right. If I heard Madeline say these words to somebody else, I'd have a problem with it. If somebody said these words to me, I'd have a problem with it. So hearing Jesus say these words to another human being, I have a problem with it. And so sometimes you open the Bible and there's a problem. And you have to deal with it. You have to figure out what it is that the Spirit and the writers are trying to tell you. For me, it's important to realize and remember that as amazing as Jesus was, as the Son of God, he was also a fully human being when he's walking around and when these stories are taking place. Part of being human means you've got human garbage that you have to deal with. Part of being a human means that we make snap judgments when we look at people. We look at somebody and color of their skin, the way they're wearing their hair. Sometimes it's tattoos and piercings. Sometimes it's the clothes that they're wearing. And we make judgments. We can't help it. That's part of what being a human is. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's making the judgments. That's how we're wired. That's how our brains are. A long time ago, it kept us safe. We had a group of people that protected us, and anything that came in from the outside could be a danger. And so we learned and we evolved to make these snap judgments. They're not inherently a bad thing. But when we start demeaning people, when we start allowing those snap judgments to dictate how we treat people, then they become an issue. And so for Jesus to be fully human meant that he experienced all of these things. These biases, if you will. These ways that we judge people just by seeing them. We get them from all over the place. Maybe Jesus was in his father's carpentry workshop one day. And a Gentile came in asking for a chair, and his dad simply said, dogs don't sit in chairs. Get out of my shop. Maybe he's walking along and his friends as a child cracking jokes. For us now, we have TV and movies and books that we read. All of these things that tell us how we're supposed to view and judge other people. And without ever noticing or realizing it or being aware of it. Sometimes they affect the way that we treat other people. So Jesus is having to deal with this. He has this encounter with this woman, and she calls him out on it. "You," she says, "you have allowed this other garbage in your life to make a decision about who I am and whether or not I'm worthy of your healing, whether or not my daughter has enough value to be healed. And that's not right. Regardless of what you think of us, everybody should eat the crumbs. Everyone should be healed. Me and my daughter, we have value." And Jesus could have done what too many of us do. He could have said, "You know, two chapters ago I healed a Gentile. It's not because you're a Gentile." He could have said, "Some of my best friends are Gentiles." He could have said, "I'm just, come back tomorrow. I'm tired." He could have gone with all of those excuses that we make so that we don't have to deal with the pain of saying or doing something that harms another person. Jesus could have deflected the responsibility. But he says, "You know what? You're right." He doesn't apologize. He says, "You're right. Because you've said this, because you've reminded me, because you've highlighted this bias and how I've allowed it to impact how I'm treating you, you've made it clear to me that I'm wrong. Go, your daughter has been made well. She's been healed." And the woman goes and she finds her daughter has been healed. The demon's been cast out. And so I guess the bottom line for me is, I kind of have a big ego sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm great at a lot of things. Just want to remind you. But even me, I'm being serious now. I don't feel like I'm better than Jesus. Even I recognize that I have limitations. And I come nowhere close to Jesus or the example that Jesus lived. And so if Jesus, the Son of God, can be so impacted by these human biases, if Jesus has to sit down and recognize that there's something in him that causes him to treat someone less than they deserve, it's probably a good safe bet that I might too. I don't think that Jesus hated this woman. I think that Jesus loved her. I think that Jesus wanted to help her. But that human garbage, the bias, was even too strong for that. And it caused Jesus to treat her less than what she needed to be. And if it can do that to Jesus, there's probably things that I need to take a look at myself. Maybe you do too. I don't know. But the second part of this story tells us what the value of doing that is. Jesus goes from that place right into the heart of Gentile territory, to the Decapolis. He heals a man who's deaf. He heals his speech. And then after that, this part that we didn't read, he feeds 4,000 people. Jesus has already fed 5,000 people, Jews and Hebrews. And now, after this encounter with this woman, he feeds 4,000 Gentiles. Doing the work of being confronted with his bias, of overcoming it, of recognizing that it's there and that he needs to treat this woman differently, Jesus is able to do all of these amazing things. His ministry grows. It opens up an entire new avenue of work that he can do. And he steps fully into it once he's able to step past the garbage. And so it's difficult. That's where Jesus does a lot better than we do. Because it's hard for us to encounter these things. To recognize where maybe we're not treating folks the way they should be treated. But if Jesus had to deal with it, we ought to at least try. We ought to take a look at those places that the human garbage around us is causing us to treat others less than. Maybe it's the first thought when you see somebody different. Maybe it's the first thought when you see a couple that doesn't look like what you think a couple should look like. Maybe it's somebody with dirty, baggy clothes, beat up car. You know, before I got here, I worked at a preschool. Again, I'm a good person, right? I'm great. I'm one of the best people I know. I love everybody. I'm aware of these things. I've taken pro-reconciliation and anti-racism classes. I've done the work. But I remember being in that preschool class. And it always seemed like the little black girl was louder than everybody else. Meaner than everybody else. And I felt that way because I was always giving her redirections. Always. And she was a little terror sometimes. But I had to ask myself, as much as I'm redirecting her compared to the other kids, is she really that much more of a behavioral issue than the other kids? Some days she absolutely was. She was just awful. But there were other days where no, for whatever reason, I saw her as more of an issue. The other kids could do the same things, be just as loud, be just as threatening. And there was something else that I was allowing to dictate how I was treating her. That's hard to admit. But it was there. Tried to do better. Some days I did, some days I didn't. But we all have those things if we really stop and take a look at them. And if Jesus can take a look at his, then maybe we ought to take a look at ours as well. Amen.